What's up?
Hello, my name is Kimberly. I am an alcoholic.
What's up?
Tonight I'm going to, well, when I was told that I was going to be doing this tonight, I went on Sarah's Facebook page to try to find some interesting stuff about her. What I found out is that she identifies as a hippie gypsy mermaid. So, anyways, her sobriety date is 8/25/18, so she has 1 year and 3 days sober. Good job. She met her boyfriend online, so it wasn't actually 13 stepping. Her favorite movie is Pretty Woman. Her favorite step is step one, although she is still addicted to ice, like the kind you put in your drinks. Calm down. And she's also the social media captain for the Soberfest. So I'd like to introduce Sarah to share her experience, strength, and hope.
My name is Sarah and I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to thank Bill for asking me to be here 3 months ago in faith that I would be here in 3 months and 3 months for me to freak out about it. All right. Oh, to the newcomers, welcome. Just stay. You know, it's an easier, softer way. Absolutely. I have 1 year and 3 days sober today. That's pretty mind-blowing, considering the alcoholic that I am. A little bit about me. I'm Sagittarius. Damn. Okay. You know, I grew up pretty quick. Most of you know my mother is in recovery. She has 32 years of sobriety. So I grew up in her disease, and then in her recovery, and then my disease, and now my recovery. So I remember having my first drink when I was 5. And I remember thinking, no big deal, I had a drink of a beer. And when I was 7, my brother was born, and I just knew that my mom was having my brother for me. It wasn't for her. So that was like a big deal for me when my brother was born. At 7 years old, my mother had moved us, well, 5, she'd moved us from San Jose to Goshen. And so she was partying a lot. And one day when I was 7, just a normal day for a 7-year-old, I remember a cop showing up and some strange people showing up at my house and holding my mom hostage in the front yard in the recliner. And I remember what she was wearing, I remember what her hair looked like, and they wouldn't let her get up, and they were walking me through the house asking me if I had eaten. And of course, you know, I had all the tomato soup that there was. And I remember, you know, when you're a kid, things are so, like, real, you know, like, you're so pure. And I didn't understand why they weren't letting my mom get up, and then they took me and my brother away from her, and they put us in this car and drove us to Tulare, and put us in a foster home. And we were in that foster home for 7 months, and it was not very pleasant. That's all I'm going to touch on that. And so after that 7 months, we were released back into my mother's care because she had gone into Pine Recovery when it was co-ed. So we began to live with her again, and her boyfriend and his kids, so we were immediately a blended family. And then I remember being loaded up into the car and being driven to San Jose. and I was told I was being taken to San Jose to my aunt's house. We were, my brother and I, because my mom had a slip, and so if he didn't take us to San Jose, then we were going to be adopted out. So we stayed with my aunt for a while in San Jose, and then I remember my mom coming to San Jose, and I remember what she was wearing. I remember her smile was really bright. She had got it this time, and she was coming to take us home. So she got clean when I was 9, and, you know, from then, you know, my life was okay, you know. So in 12, I had a friend that, her mom was an alcoholic and had a pretty large liquor cabinet, so we dabbled in that, and that's where I fell in love with alcohol. You know, I realized that it took me away from all the things that I didn't want to deal with at a young age. So I started partying with people that I probably shouldn't have been at 12 years old. At 15, I was partying quite a bit, and my mother sent me to a rehab in Utah. I was actually very happy because I was getting the hell out of here and away from everybody, and everybody sucked. You know, you're 15, life's just so wonderful. And I was like, I'm just getting started. Why am I going to... I need my water. No, that's not mine. Thank you so much. My mouth's really dry, I apologize. So, rehab in Utah for 2 months, and a lot of kids that were there were surprised they were taken there. They were told they're going to Disneyland or somewhere else, and so when they showed up to this inpatient place for, you know, teenagers that were had issues, so I learned quickly to bullshit my way through that. And when I got out of there, I came out, and I think I was trying to stay clean and go to meetings, but I was, again, 15. And so then I didn't come home from school one day, and when I finally did come home, my mom wasn't too happy, and she called the cops on me and put me in juvenile hall. For one night, that's all I needed. It scared me straight. I was good. So fast forward, you know, at 15, 14, I was partying with 30-year-olds. You know, it took me to places I didn't want to. I'm actually lucky to be standing here. I was definitely a blackout drinker. I fell in love with vodka and orange juice or whatever I could get my hands on. It was a quick way to push everything down and not have to feel. So at 23, I met my ex, who was 7 years older than me. And with that relationship, it was very toxic. We did nothing but drink. I was alienated from my family, my friends. But, you know, I thought it was okay because I had the job, the car, the spouse, the house, the dogs, cats, you know, everything was so great. But, you know, every day I was drinking obscene amounts of liquor, alcohol. if I wasn't drinking, I was thinking about drinking. And every morning I would wake up with the shakes, throwing up, and swear it off that I wouldn't do it. But once towards the end of my workday came, I was thinking which liquor store I was going to go to. I had certain liquor stores that I would get certain things at. I switched from vodka to wine, wine to beer, beer to vodka, brandy, whatever. Did drink it all. So 2 years ago, I was able to get out of that relationship of 17 years. I left. And it was the hardest thing I ever do in my life. And when I left my ex of 17 years, I left everything. And I went home to my mom. My drinking slowed down at that time because I respected her. She doesn't drink, or, you know, so it, anyway. So I was partying, hitting hard. I'd been, you know, in a toxic relationship for 17 years. So here I was, 40 years old, woo, single, gonna have fun, go date and do all this great, wonderful things and live. You know, I hadn't been able to live. I was so numb. I was simply existing. And so I like to drink alone. It's very isolating. Alcohol for me was... There's nothing better than sitting alone with my drink and my, you know, thoughts. Last May, I was invited to a concert in San Luis Obispo. Modest Mouse. Not really... I mean, I know who they are, but don't really care. I didn't really care. It was just a free concert in the coast. So, why not? So, I go to this concert with this friend, and, you know, I was that person that had my drink with me at all times. I had to be prepared. Anywhere I went, I always set it all up. You know, I had my vodka, cranberry, or whatever poison I was in the mood for. So I remember drinking in the hotel room, and I remember getting drunk before I could even finish fixing my hair. Like, and I was like, shit, you know, because I wanted to straighten my hair. Like, I have curly hair, so I wanted to straighten it. And I remember looking at myself, and I thought, I can't finish my hair. This is dumb. So I didn't finish my hair. I just threw it up in a clip, and we took off in an Uber. And we went downtown San Luis to eat. I don't remember the restaurant at all. And I can, you know, I think of this, and I can only imagine what the hell people were thinking of me. You know, like, how obvious was I thinking I was cool and nobody knew how wasted I was? So we get to the concert, it's still daylight out, and I remember thinking that when I got to the concert, it's still daylight, and I am beyond wasted. This is ridiculous. And so I opted out on drinking at the concert, and my friend was becoming quite belligerent himself, and I remember I think I was slipping into a blackout, and I was realizing it, and I was trying to figure out where he was at, and it was just chaos and people, and then it's like the lights went out, you know? I don't know if most of you understand blackouts. It's just like 1 minute you're standing here, and lights go out. And so fast forward 3 to 4 hours, I literally come to in the parking lot of Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo at somebody's Suburban trying to get in the car. I was trying to open the car, and I was like, when I came, I woke up and I looked around and I realized the parking lot was empty, and we didn't take a car there, we Ubered there. So I don't know whose car I was trying to get in. So at this point, I realized I was trying to get in the car, I walked around the other side and tried to open that door, and it still wouldn't open. And then I remember looking down, okay, clothes are on, purse, phone, all right, everything's here. Then I'm like, where the frick's my friend? Some friend, right, leaves me at the frickin' concert? And I'm alone, and I'm wasted, and I'm freezing, and I'm just pissed off. And I managed to get back to the room, and I was upset with the friend. But I realized it wasn't his fault that I drank that much. That was my fault. So this is where I believe God was etching me in the rooms and showing me that this is a better, easier, softer way to live. And so I slowed down drinking after that, but I still drank. Still, you know, sat in the backyard with my bottle. And I started dating online a little bit. As you know, I met my boyfriend now online, and his screen name said Sobriety Rocks. And I remember being very attracted to that because all these other, you know, guys I was dating was drunks or potheads or something. You know, they just had to be constantly inebriated, and I was not attracted to that. I didn't want that. I'm like, why can't people just have fun without, you know, getting wasted? Right? So, you know, we met, and we went to Santa Cruz, and we came back to town. He lives out of town, and so he's like, hey, do you mind if we go to a meeting? Because he had 10 months sober at the time. And I said, yeah, that's fine. You know, I grew up going to meetings, preteen, all that. And so we go to his little Serenity group in Los Banos, and as we get there and I walk up, this gentleman asked me how long I had sober. And I was like, oh no, I'm not. one of you people, you know? right? Like, sounds horrible now saying that, but I said, oh, no, I'm just here to support him. You know, I grew up in the program. My mom's in the program. You know, she's got 32 years. You know, I just put it off on it. You know, I'm just, like, fast-talking, and then he's like, I remember the way he looked at me. He was like, oh, okay. And I just kind of, whatever, you don't know my life. So I go in the meeting, and I'm sitting there kind of up front, and it's a small room, and they get up and stand like this and talk when they share and read. And this lady got up, and she, I swear it was like God was talking through her to me. And she said, you know, when I first got sober, I didn't think I was ever going to have fun again. And I was like, huh, how does anybody do anything without drinking? Like, how does that happen? So it was like literally God, like literally just hit me between the eyes. And I was sitting there and I felt that conviction, that spiritual connection that, I'm like lost for words, I know what I mean, but whatever. Moment of clarity, yeah, there you go. And I was like, son of a bitch, I think I'm an alcoholic. You know, in my head, it's like, I might have a problem if I can't just have one. I have to have two or three or five or ten, you know. I just didn't want to be that because I grew up and I knew what it was about. That wasn't me, you know. I was fine. I worked. That's all I did. So, you know, we left and, you know, went home, and I remember sitting in the backyard with my mom and my boyfriend, and it was August 25th, you know, 1 year ago, and I told my mom, I said, hey, you know, I think I'm an alcoholic. Her jaw literally hit the ground, and she, like, almost fell out of her chair, and she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, and I chose August 25th for my sobriety date because I can't tell you earlier my last drink, but my last drunk was pretty heavy for me. And I chose the 25th because that's when I fully admitted to myself that I was an alcoholic. And this disease has me. And I was done living that way, you know. My clock's tricking me. I thought I had 7 minutes. I have 23. Anyway, so Alcoholics Anonymous has been around since 1939, right? And look at all the lives that it has saved and continues to save. And, you know, I want to thank you. I forgot to thank you all for showing up today to keep me sober. This program has changed my life. I am a different person. I mean, I look at pictures of myself from 1 year ago. I physically look different. I mean, it's insane. You know, I took that selfie when I was drunk that night at that concert, thinking I was all cute. Damn it. Like, looking back at that picture, not cute. Not cute. You know, my eyes were dead. Like, I look at pictures when I was drinking, and it's blank. You know, and today, it's weird. Like, I look at myself, and I'm like, God, I look happy. You know, my eyes are clear. My boyfriend tells me all the time, your eyes are clear. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me hope. It's given me my family back, my mom and my brother. You know, there's a lot of damage that I did there. And the only way I can repay them or show them how truly sorry I am is by living amends. And that's all I can do, you know. I've worked all my steps. You know, when I was stuck on step four, those of you who've worked your steps in step four, I was stuck on it for about, I don't know, 2-3 months. And I remember I isolated myself for a whole day when I finally did it. And you know, my sponsor told me that was okay. And, you know, I realize now, as I'm standing here talking to you guys, doing that fourth step really released all the bullshit I've been carrying around for, you know, 41 years. And these steps have shown me that this is a better way to live. You know, I practice these steps today in all my affairs. And principles for personalities, that's a powerful one. I'm dealing with that right now. Some, you know, life happens. When you find yourself irritated or agitated because somebody's, you know, getting a gum wrapper in a meeting or, you know, getting up and down. I remember for like a week there I was pissed off at every meeting I was going to, and I was talking to my sponsor about it, and she's like, Sarah, it's not them, it's you. And I'm like, it's not me. Yeah, it's me. You know, when you find that somebody's irritating you, you know, like what my sponsor said the other day, or somebody told me, if you spot it, you got it. Yeah, there it is. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not always true. Sometimes we just don't get along with everybody. That's life, you know. But this program has taught me to just look past that. You know, people are people, and we all have our journey, and we're all here, and we're all here to carry this message, like this. I remember first coming into these rooms, how scared I was. You know, I went to the Christ Lutheran Tuesday night meeting with the ball cap on, you know, and I sat like in the back, and I remember being like seriously intimidated and really scared. And, you know, but I kept coming back, and I'm staying because I'm a better person today. Kind of drawn a blank, sorry. You know, I'm very involved. I'm in service work. I have two meetings that I secretary. I'm, you know, involved with the Soberfest, the social media deal, which was huge for me because I'm not a social media girl. So it got me out of stealth. And, you know, by the grace of God, after I got a year sober, I got a sponsee who's here tonight. And if that's not God working, I don't know what is. Because when my sponsor told me that when I finished my steps, I can sponsor, I was like, no. No, I can't. But, you know, I realized that if I have 5 more minutes than you, I can sponsor you. If you have 5 more minutes than me, you can sponsor me. It's about carrying the message and passing that on and helping the alcoholic who still suffers because, you know, we get each other. We understand each other. And, dang. There's so much to talk about. You know, and it's another thing too with my work and anonymity and this program. You know, I remember talking to my boss about being sober at 4 months, and I remember him kind of freaking out on me. He's like, well, you don't tell the patients or clients that you're in AA, do you? And I was like, no. God, I'm professional. I know better. And he's like, well, you know, I mean, I respect it and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, I get it. So I've never mentioned it to him since. And I think he knows that I am sober and I'm in the program because, you know, most of you know Elgin. I remember him telling me, I remember sharing about that in a meeting, and Elgin said, he's going to notice a change in you. And I was like, really? Like, okay. So I think he has, because there's a different respect there with my work, you know, and I think of that all the time. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I can get up in this head, and I call it my orchestra, you know, that committee up here that makes you crazy. And I think of how far I've come and where I'm at today, and, you know, life's not perfect, and it's not going to be, but, you know, it's easier today. It was such a hustle to get drunk every day. It was expensive. You know, it was killing me. It was absolutely killing me. And, you know, the damage I did in that, you know, 28 years of losing it, it's unbelievable. Like, you know, and people talk about, we're on the on the amends, right? Making your amends. And that's a big one. That's hard. You know, I've made 2. And then, of course, I freaked out over it and went back to my sponsor. I did it wrong. I didn't do it right. And she's like, you did it. You know, and that's where the 10-step comes in. And you do your nightly and daily inventory. And you check yourself. You know, you check yourself. And that's what I'm grateful for, this program. You know, it makes me grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm kind of rambling right now, I apologize. I'm so grateful that I wake up every morning, and I thank God for waking me up and giving me another day. And I remember last night. You know, I've met so many great people in this in these rooms. I have a family today. Not only my biological family, but I have a family. Like, you guys surrounded me and loved me until I learned to love myself. And you told me that, and you've done it, and you continue to do it. And that was huge because, you know, when I came here, I was broken. And I was lonely. And I was scared. And you guys have proven to me day in and day out that this is an easier, softer way, and that you're not going to let me down. You're not going to let me fall. I know that I can call anybody right now, and you guys will be there for me, no matter what. Even if you don't know me, you know, I couldn't do that back when I was drinking, or you know, people I thought were my friends. Well, I didn't really have friends. The bottle was my friend. So you know, today I have goals and dreams. My life is like. You know, my career is in full bloom right now. I'm in a great relationship with my boyfriend. He puts up with me. He's patient. my family has been very patient with me, and I guess they've seen a difference in me. They've seen a difference in me. I'm really thankful. You know, my mom and I were kind of rocking it in meetings. You know, we do a couple meetings together, and my brother and I actually have a decent relationship today. We're not, like, hating each other or him hating me. So it's nice to be Sarah again and learn who Sarah is, because she was lost for a long time. And, so I have a sponsor. I didn't tell you about my sponsor adventure. You know, if you're new in here and you need a sponsor, it's hard to find a sponsor. So I was shopping around a little bit, and the first lady I asked, she told me no. And of course my ego was like busted, and I was like, oh really? You're telling me my sponsor? And the second sponsor I got, you know, she was good for me for the time I had her, but I felt it was better for me to move on. And so now my sponsor today is perfect for me because she's gentle with me. Because I was so used to being beat down with my past relationship, and she doesn't have a bush to beat around, you know. Like she calls me on my shit, like she should. But she's gentle with me, you know. Like one time in the beginning of my sobriety, I don't know how long I have, but I remember her telling me that I was fragile. And I remember taking that really seriously because she was right. I was fragile. I am fragile. Like, I am precious cargo. And here I am. I know, right? Me all serious. here I am killing myself, you know. I meet with my sponsor once a week. And we go through the book. And, you know, I call her. I text her. I'm still not very good at calling her. That phone can be a little heavy sometimes. But I do connect with her. And, you know, I have, like I said, service positions. I do literature for a book study, a couple secretary positions. You know, I'm just involved. Like, I'm just, and I heard that in one of the first meetings I ever went to was, get involved in service work. It'll keep you sober. It'll keep you here. You know, and okay, I'm done. So what I want to say is, you know, thank you everybody for showing up tonight, and just keep coming back, because this truly is a better way of living. And reach out, get phone numbers, talk to people. You know, we get you. You know, we understand where you're at. That was one thing that I had a hard time with was, first of all, I didn't want to be an alcoholic. I didn't want to be, you know, in this group. I heard in a meeting the other day that nobody grows up and wants to be in a group called Alcoholics Anonymous, right? but, you know, this is truly a worldwide program that has saved my life and many others I know of. And, you know, just continue to embrace each other and love each other, and just keep coming back. Work your steps, call your sponsor. You know, I think that's all I have tonight. And I want to thank you for letting me stand up here and share my story with you.